Hallelujah. Give them a round of applause. I appreciate them. That's such a blessing. Amen. Let's stand on our feet for a moment and just appreciate the presence of God. Recognize His tangible presence in this place. Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all the earth. O Thou, O Lord, so very high above all the
church.
We exalt. Indeed, we love you. With all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our might, we love you. We can't express it enough in words, in songs. We can't do it adequately to describe what you mean to us and how much we look to you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you also because this morning you will help me to speak as your mouthpiece and ministers of a power that only you can supply. We thank you because your word is full of living power and is able to bring changes, positive changes in our lives. So shall it be this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Good to be back again. Good to see you all. Amen. So maybe testimony time will be Thursdays. Amen. When I'm around. Hallelujah. But we have very little time. And I want to complete what I started 2 Sundays ago when I titled Making Sure Progress. So making sure progress. Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 18, and I read, it says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." He said, "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Amen. So I began to speak about making sure progress. And I basically, what I say in here is to put all of these verses together. Like I said before, there's a tendency most times, if you're like me, that reading them in the past, you separate them. Each verse or each 2 verses or so by themselves carried a message. However, I began to see that there was a combination, and I began to see that God was saying something. His intention, God's side or God's part, and then the things that we have to do in order to ensure what God's intention is for us. Can I have an amen? Basically, what I'm saying is this, is that there are 2 parts in the journey of our walk with God. I've discovered over the last 3 or so decades of working with God, but God, there are 2 sides to having these things work for you. I've seen people for whom it looked like the world was working. I've seen people for whom it looked like the world was not working. And I've always discovered that it is not the fault of God. Can I have an amen? The Bible says that let God be true and every man be a liar. So if it's not working, it's because, or if it seems like it's not working, it's because there's something about it that you are not doing. There's something that you are meant to do that you are not doing. Can I have an amen? Almost like we were saying earlier today at the Bible school about the fact that there were 2 sides. Jesus was doing something, but there was also something expected of the disciples. So he was saying, take this and give to the people and feed 5,000. But they had to believe that in order to act upon it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Almost like when he sat in the book of John also, and then the Bible says that he was at the wedding. And then at the wedding, they say, look, the wine has finished. And then Jesus says, take the water, fill it up, and take it to the chairman of the feast. Now, if this got halfway, and they said, does that man think that we're a fool? You understand? Does he want to disgrace us? He wants to embarrass us. We should take water, and not even just to anybody. We could have tested it here first. Let's give it to somebody around here first, so that when that person drinks it and something has happened, we'll know something has happened. Why is he trying to embarrass us at the highest level? And then he says, take the water. We filled it up with water ourselves. Then he said, take it to the chairman. Not anybody else, but to the chairman. So that the insult... Are you following what I'm saying? But there is that man side, there is that side of it, and there is that side of faith and walking with God, but you must do something according to what you believe. So James chapter 2 says that faith without works is dead. The word translated works there in the book of James is the word that means corresponding action. Can I hear you say corresponding action? It means that God has said something, but what is the action that you and I need to take that corresponds to what God has said? The Bible says that when faith exists without that corresponding action, then the faith is dead, abiding alone, meaning that it is not going to bring forth any results whatsoever. God has said it. Are you hear what I'm saying? But I must do something about it. It's like somebody who I was listening to yesterday, and he said, you know, when his children were little, he said they believed in soap. He said, but without them having an intimate relationship with the soap, they were not going to be clean. He said, so it was the job of he and his wife to ensure that even though the children believed in soap, they must have an intimate relationship with that soap for that soap, for their body to be clean. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember it was many years ago, Ray and Bonky in Ibadan at Liberty Stadium also was talking about that. And he said, you know, if you work in the detergent making factory, it will not make your clothes clean. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? There must be an application of a detergent. Even though you are working there, you can even be supervisor. But your clothes may be dirty. Are you still following me, anybody? So when we look at these verses, we see what God has said. God has his intention, and that's where it started from in James chapter 4, in Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. He said, the path of a righteous man shines brighter and brighter. And that's where I stopped last time, because I felt that's what God wanted me to emphasize the last time. But God has a plan for our lives. Can I have an amen? And but if we walk with God, God will take you. It might be step by step, but God will take you. It will shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I have a habit, I like to pray just before dawn. And one of the things from praying before dawn is that I've always watched the way it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. In fact, one of the things I discovered early on was that when I begin to pray very early in the morning, it actually truly gets dark, very dark. It gets the very darkest just before it begins to become bright again. And when you see the brightness, that brightness increases as you go from 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, until you can say the day has broken. That's what the Bible is trying to describe here. It's saying that God might take you through steps. If you read Mark chapter 4, it says the same thing. It said first the blade, then the hear, then the full hear in the corn. So there is progression. But what we must believe on the God side is that God stands by his word in order to bless us and take us to an expected end. Can I have an amen? That's what Abraham believed. Abraham stood there and he said to Lord, you take whatever you want. Take whatever side you want. Whatever side you take, I'll take the opposite. I'm not even going to fight you over anything. But whatever you take, I'll take the opposite. He said to the king after he had rescued the people, and the king said, take all of the goods that you collected at war. He said, no, I'm not going to take it. He said, because I've lifted my hand before God and I've sworn that no man will be able to say that I made Abraham rich. What was he saying? He was saying, I am confident that I will be rich. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But behind it all, he's saying, I know that God has my back. I know that God is with me. I know that God is taking me somewhere. You may not be all of that now, but you must have the certainty in your heart of hearts that you will be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter where you are now. The biggest thing that is important is that you must have the conviction in your heart. But this is the least you will ever be. Are you hearing me? You must have a confidence in your heart. Now, and listen, when I'm saying all of those things, and when God said what he said in Proverbs chapter 4, God did not consider the forex exchange rate. Are you with me? He didn't consider which regime. He didn't consider fuel subsidy removal.
It means that what God is saying is that in spite of anything and everything that may be happening around you, I declare over the righteous man that his path will shine brighter and brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Somebody say, are you telling me that we can't have challenges? No, that's not what I said. I'm saying that in the middle of that challenge, you need to remind yourself that this is what God has said, and therefore, this challenge is just a phase. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must remind yourself it's just a phase. I'm just passing through a phase. Things will get better because they must get better because God said they will get better. Hallelujah. I tell people, don't be ashamed. You are going through a phase. You don't have this, you don't have that. Don't be ashamed of it. No, it's okay. But the one thing you must not have is to have lost hope and say to yourself that I'm finished. That's the one thing you must never say to yourself. You must always expect that things are going to improve. And I have an amen. But then God, that is the God side. God's word can be broken. That's what I like about God. His word can be broken. When I go through difficult times, I go back to that word. Whatever word he has, what promise he has spoken about the situation that I'm going through, I look at it again. I remind myself. I said, God hasn't changed. God is standing by what he said. Now, it now remains what I need to do. Hallelujah. In order to see what God has said that I will see. And the first thing, so that's what we now begin to see. So the rest of those verses in Proverbs chapter 4 now begins to tell you what you and I need to do. Are you with me? So from verse 20, the first thing it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life. Can I hear you say they are life? He said, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Let me say something to you that's really on my heart. I'm not even sure I know how to say it properly. But I'm most disappointed, most anxious, most worried about believers and how they treat God's word. God's word, going to church and all of that has just become a fad. You know, it's just about a fad. I'm a Christian. Yeah, we put a sticker. Yeah, we speak Christianese. You understand? And when the rubber meets the road, you understand? When the rubber meets the road, you now discover that this person does not believe half of what he has been telling you he believes. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've never, for instance, I'm not interested in preaching and everybody is screaming and say, wow, Rev, wow, ah, it's so eloquent. I'm not interested. I'm only interested in teaching people what will work for them. Are you hearing me? I mean, it was Billy Graham that said, he said, make the gospel simple and it will have profound effects. He said, but if you make it profound, so some people are profound. They look for the biggest words, they look for the biggest Hebrew word, they look for this and that, so that everybody's saying, wow, that guy knows so much and all that. He said, but when you make the gospel profound, it has simple effects. My intention is making the gospel simple, but let it have profound effects in the lives of the people. That is, take that word and begin to live by it. That's what he's talking about here. He said they are life to those who find them. Now, number one, it means that not everybody finds them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not everybody finds them. It's like when Jesus speaks and he says, let him that has an ear, let him hear. When they look around in those gatherings, they say, what's our God saying? We can see here. We can see people have here. But what is he talking about? He's saying that people are listening, but they are not listening. He says, so they are life to those who find them. What does that mean? It means that those who find them will discover that they have found the answers to life. Those who take it seriously the way they should will discover that life begins to answer to them. Are you with me? So Bible study will not be because you are coming to church on Sunday morning and there is Bible school and they will ask if you read it. Bible study for you, personal Bible study, becomes a life or how do we call it, a life and death situation. You wake up and you are waking up late and you are concerned that, okay, I think I will not have time to eat this morning because I'm concerned about stepping out without God's word. You understand what I'm saying to you? Why? Because they are life to those who find them. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. This one scripture I like very much. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And guess what? Things always happen to people. Things always happen. Life will always happen to us. Are you hearing me? But it is the God's word that you have that will determine what your outcome, eventual outcome will be. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses was speaking to the children of Israel. And verse 46, he said to them, "Set your heart on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe." I want you to note all of those words. The words are chosen carefully. He said, you will command them to be careful to observe. That is, you don't treat the word of God carelessly. He said, so you even command your children, say, hey, this word you are saying, be careful to observe this word. To observe all the words of this law. Now, verse 47. He said, for it is not a futile thing, because it is your life. And by this word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Are you with me? He said, this thing that you are doing, this setting your heart on God's word, he said, it's not a futile thing. It's not a waste of time. That's what that means. When you wake up and you are sitting with God's word, it's not a waste of time. When you sit there and say, I don't even know. I read it. I don't even know what I read. It's not a waste of time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Something hits you on the inside, and when the day comes that you need it, the Holy Ghost will find something to bring out. Are you still there? So it says you this for their life. That's Proverbs chapter 4. Their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. I'm still talking about the impact. So number one, give attention. So God's side is, God says, I promise you, I have progress in mind for you. That's my word. I stand behind that. He says, now what do you need to do in order to ensure that sure progress? He said, number one, give attention to my word. Turn to somebody, say, give attention to his word. Now, give attention to his word. When you say, give attention. I be teacher. Students, I need your attention. What does that mean? Huh? It means stop everything else you are doing and focus on this thing. Are you there? So while we are talking about the benefits, these words are life to those who find them. The Bible says that in 1 Peter, it said he has given us, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, I believe it is, it said he has given us exceeding great and precious promises. So that by these promises, we might escape the corruption that's in this world. That basically we take on the life of God by the promises. I'm talking about the fact that the word delivers life to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Delivers life to you. But it says they are also held to all their flesh. That's not my emphasis today. Held to their flesh, the word health there means medicine. So they are medicine to their flesh. There's something about taking on God's word that keeps you well. Not just heals you, it can heal you, but it also keeps you well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the key thing here is, what do you do? How do you handle God's word that ensures that it can deliver what it actually contains to you? He said, give attention to my words. Meaning when it comes to God's word, you are not distracted. You refuse distractions, you fight distractions, because you realize that that word is precious. Are you there? It's not when the word of God is going on that you are sharing something on WhatsApp, on Facebook. That means you are distracted. Are you still with me? And even forget church. I'm talking about personally by yourself. He said, give attention to my words. Now, you know, when in the hospital, you'll ask patients, you know, you give a drug and the patient comes back and says, I'm not feeling very well yet. You know where you start from? Is what did you do with the drugs? Okay? And then you start probing what was done with the drug. Why? Because your first conviction is that that drug is potent enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then you start discovering. Somebody, are you sure you are using your drugs? Yeah, I'm using it. Doctor, I'm using it. You are using it. How do you use it? He said, maybe you said this 1-3 times. Abi, you said 3 times a day. He said, so I use it. I use 3 in the morning so that I don't forget. Number one, there's a problem there, Abi. Because it's 1-3 times a day. So I use 3. And then sometimes, you know, you actually tell people, you say, okay, so let me see the drugs. And then they bring out the drugs. Then you count the drugs that are there. For 1 week, what you have given should not be this many left. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the problem is not the drug. The problem is the usage of the drug. The problem is not God's word. The problem is how we use God's word. Are you hearing me, anybody? You are quiet now. Am I talking to you? Because you hear a lot of people that say it's not working. It doesn't work. Pastor said if we confess God's word, it will come to pass. I've confessed 3 times. I confessed 10 times. And it's not working. But the real point is, did you really do what you are expected to do? Are you meant to confess 10 times? Some people say, I confess 100 times. Are you meant to confess 100 times? Are you there? You know, Hebrews chapter 3 says that we should, because we have a high priest, we should hold fast our confession. That word confession also means profession. Are you with me? That's just an aside. It also means profession. What does that mean? It means that your confession is your profession. So, what is God's word saying to you? How much attention do you give when it comes to God's word? How do you focus on what you are reading? How do you meditate on the things that you are reading? That's what is important. It's not just the fact that, well, I read it, well, I opened it, well, I looked at it. They said we should read 4 chapters. I went through the 4 chapters. But what did you really do with the 4 chapters? Have somebody, I say, give attention to his word. Are you still there? We must create exclusive space for God's word in our lives. That is, people need to know that when you carry the Bible, they shouldn't disturb you. Are you still there, anybody? You know, over time, it got to where people, they knew. I get to my office very early. When I go to the office, I get to the office very early. And I have 1 or 2 other people coming very early. But they know that when I enter the office early and I lock that door, I tell them, I say, except you are dying, don't knock that door. So there's nothing, no urgency that has hit you that should make you say, because it's around, I will go and meet him. I say, you wait till I open that door. Are you still hearing me? We need to start consecrating time that is exclusive for God's word in our lives. Are you still there? This is what? Give attention to my word. Then it says, not let them depart from your eyes. We're talking about how it's used, isn't it? Don't let it depart from your eyes. Meaning that find a way to always remind yourself of what God's word says. Find a way all through the day, all through the week, always go back and read again and check again and hear again. I know you know Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. And somebody said, therefore, it means that faith goes by having heard. The moment you start feeling like a G, it's a G we call it. I already know it. Even this morning, some people sit and say, I know what he's talking about. Then there's a problem. Are you still with me? Because you must always approach God's word as if you didn't know it before. approach it with the hunger of somebody who hasn't had it before. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. It says, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will depart from the path of knowledge. Cease listening. Cease means stop listening to instruction. So he's saying that when you stop listening, then you will start departing. Listen, backsliding is not very difficult. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not very difficult. You just need to stop doing what you used to do before. Just like when Paul wrote the Galatians. And he said, haven't begun in the spirit, do you think that you can end it in the flesh? He said, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? But is that he's saying, what you were before, how fired up you were before, how you walked with God before, do you think that what got you here, you think you can finish it now in the flesh without continuing the way you were before? Backsliding is very easy. It just means stop doing what you used to do. Are you with me? So number one, give attention to his word. If we must make sure progress, we must give attention to God's word. I've said it many times before, but if I carry any device of mine, it's full of God's word. It's one of the first things I ensure. Whether it's a phone, whether it's a tablet, it has God's word, and I can feed myself at any point in time, wherever I find myself. So there are books, perhaps 100, 200, 300 on this tablet. If I pick another one, probably the same thing. Apart from the Bible, the first thing I install as an app is the Bible. I get a new thing, I install the Bible. Why? Because anywhere I am, I must be able to feed on God's word. Why? Because they are life to those who find them. Are you there? Give attention to God's word. Number two, he said in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for one says, out of it comes your life. So when I read things like this and it says, keep your heart with all diligence, it means that there are some things that are trying to get into that heart. The description in the Hebrew of keep your heart with all diligence in the Old King James, it says guard your heart. The description is like when you put a guard at the door of a place. The job of the guard is not to stop everybody coming in, but it's to stop the wrong people from coming in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's saying put a guard at the door of your heart and prevent the wrong things from getting into your heart. Now, when it says keep it with all diligence, it means that there will always be pressure to put the wrong things in your heart. You know, years ago, I was concerned and I was talking to God that, look, I'm praying, I'm studying your word, and there are things that I'm not seeing the way I expect them. And God said, you know, the problem is not what you are putting in. He said the problem is what you are not keeping out. That is, the problem is not the seed that you are planting on the farm. The problem is the weed that you are not keeping out of the farm. Because when the weeds come in, they do what? They choke the seed. He said, so it's not enough to plant the seed of my word. He said, it is very important that you keep weeding your heart and protecting your heart. Are you with me? You know, when we entered the university, they told us about a course. Chemistry 157, they called it. And it had all kinds of names and aliases, including Almighty 157. And they would tell you, without starting the class for the first day, you would have heard about Almighty 157 and the fact that students fail. But one of the things we discovered was that one of the reasons why people failed was because they were already filled with the fear of 157, even before they knew what 157 was about at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the fear that they allowed to enter in was what destroyed them. You know, in Judges chapter 7, God spoke to Gideon and he said, you had what? Is it 30,000 soldiers? He said, but there are too many for me to deliver the Midianites into their hands. He said, so I'm going to reduce the number. And then he said, ask all the people who are afraid to go back. And how many people do you remember went back? 22,000. Are you with me? 22,000. Can I hear you say 22,000? So out of 30,000 soldiers, they said, all those who are afraid, go back. 22,000 turned back. And I'm thinking to myself, where did God start from there? How come God started and said, let the ones who are afraid go back? Why? What's the importance of that? Because the guys who are afraid will pollute the other people. And once they contaminate the hearts of the other people with fear, all of them will die. Are you hearing me? Listen, a whole generation of Israelites failed to enter the promised land because they were filled with fear because they listened to the 10 spies instead of the 2. 10 spies came, 12 spies went into the land to spy out the land. They returned and they said, the land is exactly as God said. And God has said, I'm giving you the land. They said, but there are giants in the land. We cannot take the land. And the Bible says, the people lifted up their voices and wept that they cannot take the land. So Numbers 14:28, God said, as they have spoken, so will I do. They will not enter the land. He said, but these 2 will enter because they have wholly followed the Lord. Are you still with me, anybody? What I'm saying to you is that there are many things that people we allow into our hearts, and they are the reasons why we don't make the progress we should. Some of us are listening too much to the Forex differential, for instance. The dollar has risen again. Naira has fallen by 160 to the dollar in 7 days. And then you say, hey, it means petrol will go up. Oh, hey, it means, you know what you need to do? Shut it down. Can I hear you say, shut it down? Stop listening to it. If it's bothering so much, stop listening to it, because it will choke God's word. All your excitement, you woke up, you prayed, you were excited, you were singing in God's presence, and you were saying, this is the day the Lord has made. And when you finish, you put on the news, and then you heard that one, and you say, hey, how we won't survive now in this country? It means what? Stop listening to the news. Because for now, you are not able to protect your heart from the things you are hearing. Are you still with me? So God says to you, I'm taking you forward. I'm moving you there. I'm taking this. I'm going to provide this for you. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you this and that. But the things that are coming in our heart are discouraging us. And it takes us to number 3. Because he then says to us, but put away from you a deceitful heart. That's a deceitful mouth, verse 24. And put perverse lips far from you. There's a connection. Once something sits in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. And if you remember the book of Genesis, man was created to function like God. We say it and we see it. Are you hearing me? We say it and we see it. So sometimes people say to me, this. I say, your confession is working. They say, I'm not feeling well. You know, I'm so sick, blah, blah. I say, your confession is working. It's working, because every time I see you, you are saying it, and it's working very well. It's not getting any better, because there's no positivity in what you are saying. You're not saying, I'm not feeling very well, but I know that by stripes I was healed, and I know I'll be well. I know that this thing won't last. I know that pain will disappear. You're just telling me I'm sick. I'm very sick. I have pain. I say, well, it's working. God's word is working. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I believe it begins to say to us that if you will see good days and enjoy life, then you must refrain from speaking evil. If you must see good days. Meaning that irrespective of what God has said, irrespective of the promises of God, if you don't secure your own mouth, then you will cause your own problems. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Years ago, I preached something and I titled it, you are the prophet of your own life. Meaning the things you are saying are the things that are working for you. Jesus appeared to Kennedy again. And he said to him from Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, he said, now, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. I like whoever, because whoever means me. Can I have an amen? Whoever means you. So whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And Jesus said to him, he said, did you realize that belief appears only once? But saith, or saying, or saith, appears three times. He said, you'll have to teach the people three times as much about what they are saying than about believing for things to work for them. He said, my people have more problems with the saying than they do with the believing. They believe. If you ask many people, they believe God can do anything. They believe that God can bless them. They believe that God can heal them. They believe, they believe, they believe, they believe. But they are not saying what they believe. They are saying the opposite of what they believe. They are saying what they feel. They are saying what they see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still here this morning? So people have more problems with the same part, even though everybody, when you start saying it, act like I know what he's talking about. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible says what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, meaning that the tongue has power, and that power can create death or it can create life. Listen, it means that I need to start saying, even deliberately, the things that I want to see, apart from the fact that I need to deliberately also ensure that I never say the things that I don't want to see in my life. Irrespective of what I see, feel, or hear. Can I have an amen? Jerry Savelle said, God saved under the ministry of Kenneth Copeland. And he said he got into God's word and studied and studied and studied. He said, but one the big thing that bothered him so much was that he couldn't figure out how God was going to bless him financially. He was a mechanic, a panel beater, we will call it here in Nigeria. He was a panel beater. He said he couldn't figure out how God could bless. He said everything else he was okay with. He could see how God will heal him and keep him healthy. He could see all of those things. He said, but he had a problem with how will God bless me financially. He said that was his big problem. And one day, Kenneth Copeland came to town. I'd had an accident on the way, and so they asked if he could fix the car. He said, sure. And he was working on the car. He said that meant that he could not attend the morning services, and he could only attend in the evenings. He said, but the morning, Kenneth Copeland decided to come there. After the morning service, he just decided to come there to see and began to talk to him. He said, and he told him, he said, God told me that you have a question. He said, yes. He said, how can God bless me financially? How will God do that? And Copeland said, your problem is your big mouth. He said, anger arose inside of him. He said, because he thought to himself, I'm asking, because I'm asking question. Then I mean, many of you know what I'm talking about. You get angry. I mean, pastor just talked to me anyhow. He said, your problem is your big mouth. He said, and you'll have to learn the vocabulary of silence. And he said, vocabulary of silence. Yeah, he said, if you cannot speak right, shut up. That is, if you cannot say the right thing, then learn to shut up. Don't say everything you feel. Are you hearing me? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, said, a fool bears all his mind. He's a fool that just says everything. Hey, that's the way I feel. Can't I express myself? You can, or you create your destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can, but you create your destiny. So he said, Kenneth Copeland left, and he was talking to God. He said, did you hear what he said? He said, he just insulted me. And God said, look, Jerry, your problem is your big mouth. He said, God, you heard it from Copeland. He said, but he learned to sit there with God's word. In fact, he got so angry, he said the tapes, because they had this role, almost like cassette player, but they were bigger reeling tapes that they used to do use in those days. He said somebody had given him some of Copeland's messages. He said he took them and he just threw them on the road. The thing was rolling away and unwinding down the road. He said he was very angry. And God said, that's your answer, that is going down the road. And your problem is your big mouth. See your answer. You've thrown it down. He said, you have to go and pack the ticket. Ah! Are you with me? I don't know why I keep forgetting this guy's name. It's a basketball player who died in a helicopter crash. Kobe Bryant. Yes, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant died in an helicopter crash in the U.S. One of the biggest names in basketball. It was headline news all over the world. In fact, they had to do a whole, I don't even know what they did, name stuff after him, you know, in the basketball world and all that. But one of his childhood friends said, he said Kobe had always said that he wanted to die young and become famous. So basically, what he had always said, are you hearing what I'm saying? That he would die young and he would be immortalized. He said that's exactly what has just happened. But whatever Kobe was saying, whether he understood it then or not, the fact was that he has set in motion certain things. Listen to me, friends. Take it very seriously what we are teaching in church. Are you hearing me, anybody? Take it very seriously because the words of God give you the answers to life. Former governor of Oyo State. I listened to his radio interview after he died. 2020, COVID. The man had just turned 70. And he was one of the first people that died of COVID. At least, let's say one of the first VIP people that died of COVID in this country. And I listened to his interview before he died. After he died. And he said that, look, I've always told God just to allow me to reach 70. He said, I've told God 70 is enough. Just let me get to 70. He said, because we don't live long in our family. He said, and I told God, just give me 70. 70 is enough for me. If you give me 70, I am fine. He said, that's what I've always told God. Can I hear you say, always told God? He said, but now, because they were interviewing him on radio for turning 70. He said, but now that I've turned 70, he said, life is sweet. Oh. He said, so I'm telling God maybe he can extend it. He died a month or two after. Are you hearing me? Somebody say, hey, why didn't God then answer the prayer? No, it was not prayer. Are you hearing me, anybody? It was confession. The man had been saying certain things and set certain things in motion for years. And then he said he had an associate. And this guy suddenly took heel around the age of 40. He said he took heel and he believed God. They prayed. They trusted God. He said, and he died. He said it bothered him. How the guy died. It really bothered him and he kept being. And he said what God told him was that, look, spiritual. He said, how did he put it? He said, spiritual laws have been set in motion long before now and it's too late to change them. He said it bothered him and he never understood what God was talking about until when they were burying the guy, and I think it was his brother that was talking to Iggy, and said he had always said that he would die by 40, age 40. That's when Egan understood what God told him, that he said spiritual laws have been set in motion long before now, and it's too late. What are you setting in motion for yourself? Are you hearing me, anybody? What are you saying for yourself? Are you beginning to talk disaster, talk loss of hope, talk hopelessness, talk fear? Some people are even already talking cancer. Are you hearing me, anybody? He said, keep your heart with all diligence. So guard your heart. Number one, give attention to his word. These are the parts that you do in order to ensure good progress. Number one, give attention to God's word. Number two, guard your heart. You know, I just also remembered when we had COVID. And he asked me, I said, we have two pandemics. Two pandemics at once. We have the pandemic of COVID and we have the pandemic of fear. And as a matter of fact, the pandemic of fear is worse than the pandemic of COVID. For everybody I knew who would tell me, I caught COVID. I tell them, first, you must believe that you will not die. It's just another disease. And God, he's a healer. Full stop. That's where you must start from. Are you hear what I'm saying? Because once you allow the fear, because that's what's giving it the power, is the fear. And once you allow that fear to seize your heart, you'll be in trouble. Are you still there? And then number three says what? Put away wrong speaking. And number four, verse 25, Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Be focused. Are you with me? Be focused. And that will take us to our half-time renewal next month. Be focused. Too many people are distracted. You know, and that's what we'll be dealing with. People are distracted. Be focused. If you are going to make sure progress, be focused. This is what God has said to me. This is what God has promised me. Keep your eyes on it. And listen, distractions come in many forms. In many forms. Sometimes a distraction is even an illness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I was ministering to somebody years ago, and we're believing God for a baby. And God laid it on my heart to just tell her, stop worrying about it. Stop thinking about it all of the time. It's a distraction. Somebody says, how can you call that a distraction? Because it is a distraction. Are you hearing me? I said, keep your eyes on what God has asked you to be, what God has asked you to do with your life. Focus on it. Keep going. God will give you a child. But don't let that become your main drive and your main focus, because it will take your attention away from your pathway. I said, but if you will trust God and just keep doing whatever God has asked you to do, but don't make that the thing that you are thinking about day and night, day and night, day and night. Guess what? Even when you are very anxious about things, your body system changes. Your hormonal, levels and all that changes. So all of those things will even prevent the thing happening. Are you with me? She had a baby. After that, I was talking to somebody also. They have two kids now. And she told me, she said, you know, for years, we didn't have a child. I said, I didn't know. When I met them, they had two kids. I said, you know what happened? I said, no, I'd love to hear it. She said, the thing was, of course, it was an issue. She said, but we just felt one day, we'll wait on God, and we felt God said, leave that matter alone. You know, and just focus. And God said, I want you to be a part of the evangelism team of the church. And she and her husband joined the evangelism team. And they would just be all consumed with evangelism, going out, sharing tracts, preaching to people, inviting people to church. She said, honestly, when it happened, how it happened, we have no clue. That's how they had number one, had number two. And I hear you say distractions. If I had another one who just had a baby. And he was telling me, say, you know, they have been married 10 years or more. She said, when my wife got pregnant, I had to ask myself, when did we even get intimate? Because I didn't even remember. She said, because my focus had shifted from that, and I was just living my life. Are you with me? What has God asked you to do? We're reading John chapter 6 this morning. You know, after Jesus fed the 5,000, you know what they did? They wanted to come and make him king. Abi? The Bible says he fled from the place. He left the place quickly. Why? Because very often the enemy of God's will is the good. So sometimes the distraction is something good, but it's not God's will. It's not God's plan for you. Oh, it looks good, it looks great, it's an offer here, is this there? But that's not what God is laying on your heart to do. If you go for it, you are distracted. Are you hearing me? Keep your eyes right ahead. Keep looking. Ponder the path of your feet. Keep looking right ahead. What is God saying to me? Ponder the path of your feet. What steps you take, ponder upon them. Don't take them carelessly or based on the circumstances around you. One of the biggest differences that the believer should have, or believers should have, apart from those who are not Christians, should be the fact that they are able to find and follow God's will for their lives. Or let me make it even simpler. They have a heart that wants to find and follow God's will for their lives. They're not just out there beating around the bush, doing anything and everything, but they are always concerned. They are always asking themselves, is God in this? It doesn't mean that you sit and fold your arms and say you are waiting for Jesus to appear to you and tell you exactly what to do. No, no, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that every step you take, you're always asking yourself, is God in this step? And if at all, for any reason, you have a conviction that God is not in it, you are ready to pull out, irrespective of what it looks like. Distractions can be offenses. You know, one of the reasons why I don't take offense easily is because it's a distraction. I know where I'm going. I know what I want to do. So to stop and begin to deal with offense here, offense there, is delay. And it's a distraction from the progression I'm trying to make. Are you there? I was listening to Andrew Womack. The one day God told him, the prophet called him in a meeting. I said, Andrew, God showed me something about you. You know, and that you were like a runner in a race. And as you were going in the race, people in the grandstands began to say all sorts. He said, and you went, you jumped into the grandstand, and you started to debate with them, and argue with them, and all of that. He said, God said, get back to the race. Are you still there? The Bible says, let us lay aside sins. Let us lay aside the sins and the weight that so easily distract us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So again, you can have sins as an issue. You can have things that are not really sins, but they are weights. They weigh you down. They ensure that you cannot make progress. Are you still there? Keep a focus. They said, you know what the word division comes from? It's division, meaning two visions. Two visions. So he said, if you want to stop somebody from pursuing his vision, give him two. He has a vision, just add to it. So sometimes what the devil does for us is not to tell you to stop whatever you are doing. It's just to add on so many things that take your attention. So, for instance, many of us don't have a problem with studying God's word. The only problem we have is that there are too many other things that jump in that space with us. So, we wake up, we want to study God's word, but we grab the phone. Abi? So, we read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, then we check Facebook for 30 minutes. Then you go back to verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. Eh? You know what I'm talking about. You don't know it. Should we pray for liars this morning? Altar call. Are you with me? Listen, even I've had to tell myself there's certain things I must get back to. Okay? There's certain things I must get back to. Certain levels of consecration in terms of focus. Just to ensure that you can get the best results that you need to get. Are you with me, anybody? So listen, the four things we have said this morning, I believe there are four. Am I right? God's part is what? God has promised you progress. So how do we make sure that we make that progress that God has said? Number one, give attention to his word. Number two, guard your heart. Number three, tame your tongue or train your tongue. Okay, make sure you train it. Make it a profession that I will control how I speak. And number four, avoid distractions. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I will search for you, and I will find you. I will find you with all my heart. I will lift my voice to you in worship. our devotion to him this morning. And just tell him you'll take it more seriously than ever. You know, it's when things are hard, that you need God the more. That's where you need him the more. Because he's the one who's able to stabilize your heart to start with. And he's the one that makes water gush out of the rock. He's the one that makes a way in the wilderness. So when things are tough, that's when we need God most. I want you to make a consecration to him this morning. That he's going to be your focus. Your focus on doing, on seeking him first, and on doing what he wants you to do. He said, when you do that, every other thing shall be added. That's what he said. Every other thing shall be added. And believe you me, there are people that are enjoying addition. That is, things are just coming their way. Many times they will even tell you, this why I didn't pray for it. It just came. But they are focused on God. While you are shaking, there are people who are not shaking. Why? Because he keeps them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. That is, they are able to fix their mind on him. They don't shift. They just keep their mind on God. And so there's perfect peace. They seem relaxed about life. In fact, sometimes you know what they are going through, but you are wondering, but this person is not showing any sign. Sometimes when they tell you what's happening, you are like, I wouldn't have known. That's how to live life. That's how God expects us to live. This morning, as I prayed and prepared for this, I believe God wanted me to have a healing line this morning. So I'm going to just do that. But if you're here this morning, also you need a healing, I want you to come out, and I'm just going to operate by the ministry of laying on of hands. I believe God laid that on my heart this morning. And I'm just going to do that very quickly before I put down the mic. You need a healing in any form. Please come very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. Just a minute. And I'm just going to do that. Father, thank you. I will serve for you. I will serve for you. I will serve for you.
I will find you.
I will find
you. I will.
That people have written off. The word that's coming to my heart is Zechariah. The Bible says that the angel appeared to Zechariah and he said, your prayer has been heard. Actually, in Greek, it says the prayer you are no longer praying has been heard. That's the prayer you've given up on. You know, the prayer that you've thought, look, okay, it's okay. You know how we say it? You can't win everything. The one that you have said, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. It said it has been heard. It has been heard. It has been heard. So I believe God is revisiting lost dreams. You know, lost hopes, the things that you've just, you don't want to pray about it again. You just say, look, I prayed a long time over this matter. I shouldn't waste my prayer on this one again. You know, it's okay. God's revisiting it. And you find that the things that you have given up on long ago will happen. Father, we give you thanks this morning. We give you thanks.
Will never ever fail. You are the Lord. You remain the same. Oh, you will never ever fail.
Limit. I'm not saying you are putting a limit now. In fact, I'm thinking of it in the sense, what's coming to me is in the sense of you say to yourself, okay, I want to ask this. Okay. Is that going to be? So I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. You know, it's like wanting to ask something, wanting to pray about something and saying, should I? Really? You know, should I? If I want to ask for 100 million, just as an example, and I say maybe it's okay to ask for 70. You understand? And it's saying, like he spoke to Moses, he says, since when has my hand become shortened? Since when has my hand become shortened? Meaning, you know, Moses stood there in the wilderness and the people complained and they said they wanted meat, and God said, I'll give them meat till it's coming out of their nostrils. That's, I will overload them with meat. And even Moses had to then say, God, where will we find meat where we are? And God said, Moses, since when did my hand become shorted? Meaning, Moses, you always believe me. When did you think I now stopped being who I am? You know, is this one shaking you? I don't let it shake you. Don't let it shake you. Don't let anything shake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. I believe this will be your best year yet. This will be your best year yet. So the things you couldn't do before, you will do them now. You'll do them now. So get ready. This is the time to own car. It is the time to own a house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the time. Don't change anything. Don't change anything. Just don't change anything. Are you hearing me? Don't change anything. This is the time to don't say just keep believing. Keep believing. You know, we're believing God for a house. My wife said to me, you know, I calculated and I was saying to my daughter, I said, if whatever we do, it will take at least 2 years. I said, no way. Don't talk like that. I said, the problem is your calculation. because you are calculating based on personal capacity. But you need to be looking at God. Forget about your personal capacity and just look at God. And say, look, if you had said that I calculated and I saw that based on personal capacity, it can't happen to 2 years, but God, I said, I won't say anything. I said, but I was waiting to hear, but God, I didn't hear it. Are you with me? God doesn't need any man's help. It's God by himself. He does whatever he wishes. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We magnify you. We exalt you. In Jesus' name.